Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Hello and welcome. My name is Almeen, and I'm very happy to spend this hour with you, and also happy that I once again have Ruchir Shadeh with me on the phone. The reason being that I've done several of the shows by myself, but it's just always wonderful for me to see through the eyes of another, because sometimes I take things for granted and they leave blatant questions that you, the listener, want to know. And because I'm so familiar with the work, to have that second perspective is very nice. Ruchir, thank you for helping us today.
You're welcome. I have a few questions. I don't know if
they're... Go right ahead. Yes,
they're not very blatant or anything, but there's a number of questions about the white magic, the new magic that you've spoken of, and of course also in the orders that you work with, which each of them has their own body of magic. And I think one question which has been raised a few times is that is all good and well, but what exactly is the practical... What are the practical tools delivered by this new magic? Because a lot of it seems to be concern devices and objects that aren't really accessible to most people, in that they're hidden somewhere in the etheric. So the question really is, what if any, is a practical dimension to this new magic?
Okay, and there are a couple of categories when answering your question. Category one is, let's say that there is a specific device that's either located in the library itself or is an etheric object. An example would be, there is a crystal in the Order of the Dove's libraries that is called the Crystal of Destiny, and it's just in a small little room. There's a special way to get in and there's a special way to get out. You may only really access your own destiny. So what does that help the average person that's sitting at home reading a book? And how it helps them is that the symbols that we're being given, they are phenomenal. I mean, you must just imagine what it feels like to be actually drawing them. When I take them down, when I get a symbol that I'm supposed to be drawing, as I draw, profound changes happen within me. Sometimes it happens around me. Sometimes there's light in the room. Sometimes the room becomes fluid. It's extraordinarily powerful. I've spoken in one of the past shows about this massive rose with all its symbols on that were drawn recently, and about 20 people filmed it, either on cell phones or with small projectors, recorders. And when they did, all of their images were pulsing. By the evening, the same images on their cameras was changing color, and by the next day, they changed yet more colors. I'd done it on black and white on a flat piece of paper. These devices are so powerful that when I was drawing that rose, I got such a terrible headache, and I felt very, very weak. And Mother said, and I said, Mother, what's wrong? Because I had to stop at 5 o'clock because I'd been drawing during my class time while teaching and in between teaching. And when I finally got to the point where I had to go back to the hotel room, and it was on a big piece of paper, so I left it for the next day, I felt horrible. And Mother says, that's because you can't leave something that powerful halfway drawn. It will leak its energy out, and it will take your energy. So Mother put a shield around it till I could get back to it and finish it up the next day. But, you know, it might be a device put in the library, but for instance, the Stone of Destiny has a very specific symbol through which you enter the door. And you can put yourself in a state of meditation with this symbol right in front of you, and you can go in your meditation and look right into that crystal through the symbol's power that assists you to do that. So it enhances the ability to go in there in your meditative state with a piece of your mind and heart, and just go in there and look each day at the destiny, which changes from day to day. So, A, an etheric device is not just an etheric device if you have access to it. So that's the first part of the question. So the second part of the question is, you know, I've said before that sigils are like having someone's phone number. We have been giving you, for instance, sigils in the Ring of Truth, in the Isis books, on and on, of beings that are at your beck and call in terms of doing things that are life-enhancing. There are beings that do nothing but assist when people call them. You have a phone number. So the sigils that we're giving, again, extraordinarily powerful devices. I explained before how they actually are containers of the building blocks of life and so on. So that's number two. Then number three, where they're giving incantations are coming up. Now, incantations focus attention. It opens possibilities up. It enhances where minds are not still, the possibility of success. And so these incantations are put in the Book of Life. So it means that if it is a life-enhancing choice, that which you want to have done will be done because the incantation is said and it's been put in the Book of Life, which dictates the laws of reality. So the incantations are very valuable tools. And then there are other tools that are coming out that are so extraordinary that, to tell you the truth, it might take me 6 months to figure out how to work with them. And I'm hoping, you know, that a separate book just on how to work with these things, I shouldn't call them things, they're incredibly holy devices, and then perhaps produce, you know, a CD-ROM or something that goes with it so that people can actually see it three-dimensionally. And what they are the 300 wheels of the goddess, of the mother goddess, and 300 wheels of the father god. So there's a total of 600 wheels. The wheels designs, oh my gosh, I mean, you just look at it, it's just sublime. The designs come out of mother and father's holy city. I've often spoken about the New Jerusalem, as it's called in Revelations, being, in fact, physically here on earth. It's being hidden from us. It's kept with frequency a layer apart so that we can actually walk through it. Sometimes it gets so close that, you know, some of the masters in my classes and the students that come in, they can feel it and some can see it. But the point is that those wheels are part of the geometry of that city. There are also wheels that were used by Mother and Father at the very beginning of creation, although there weren't 300 and 300 then, there were fewer. But they were used at the very beginning of creation. They came forth according to what one of the goddesses of the throne around Mother told me that she remembered. She said it came out of Mother's heart, and they dance in the air. And Mother and Father would send through their intent, and around them, creation formed. These wheels are being given to humanity to utilize. The 300 of the mother, if they stack in a specific order on top of one another, the 600 father ones stack on top of one another, making two cylinders. Each of the wheels, they have a specific order, each of the wheels either spins left or right or is stationary, and some of the wheels move up and down through the other wheels in the cylinder. So you know, it's a complex method, but I'm hoping that by the time I give this, that it will be simple. because around the cylinder is placed this huge rose which has on it the codes of life. And so whatever you create goes through the codes of life, but there's another three-dimensional structure around that which I've received from the goddess of matter, but I have not deciphered it. I don't know what it is yet. And so there, it's a very valuable tool. And then the last thing that I just want to mention is that we are also given each of the libraries that have opened. And I said how these libraries are like a timeline, because they are from, you know, from a few million years ago to trillions of years old in terms of differences in age. Each one of them has had a most incredible set of ruins. You know, it's told in the lore of the Norse people how Odin went to get the ruins that we know of as the sort of Norse ruins that has these various little crosses and things on it.
Well,
he hung
the classical ruins.
That's it. Thank you. He hung upside down from a tree. He went through all sorts of torture to get these sacred symbols. These are not just a card someone made up that, you know, looks pretty. These ancient symbols have a programmed awareness in them. And we have been given multiple sets of ruins with their meanings. And they are a very valuable tool. So this is absolutely magic that is available to people to use. And, you know, maybe I can just close our little first section off with this, and then you can ask me the next question after the break. But, for instance, in the Aruba Ferina book, Aruba Ferina means the gift of love. I finally figured that out a couple of years later after printing it, a gift of love, but that the fairies have given us. It sounds simplistic. I have said before how powerful it was that when I wrote it down, I came under a spell where I was falling asleep. I couldn't actually write. My eyes couldn't focus because it was a protection mechanism around their spells. There was an answer for it. I had to laugh, and then it went away. But the point is, it's that powerful, even though it sounds so simplistic. We cannot keep asking for more when we don't have, utilize, and are grateful for what we've got. Can we imagine what a priceless opportunity it is for the realms to open up, the merpeople, the giants, the unicorns, the fairies? I didn't think I would be writing about these things a few years ago because of the fact that my love, my passion, is the metaphysics of the cosmos, how man fits into the macrocosm. This is not where I was heading. But when they offered it, it's a, such a priceless opportunity, and it thins the veil between realms that I was so grateful. Whatever they wanted to give me, I gladly took because I could feel the purity behind their gift. So if we are not grateful and we don't at least use it, and, you know, if we even tape those things on a tape recorder and play it to ourselves as we go to sleep at night, the spell for abundance and so on. These are incorruptible magical spells. They cannot be used for anything that is self-serving and doesn't serve the good of the whole. Please come back with us in a few minutes here. We're just going to take a commercial break.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Well, I really enjoyed your question, hence the long answer, because I really think it's so important at a time when this incorruptible white magic is being given back to man, which he once had as his birthright. What else would you like to know?
Well, I would like to comment on a few things which you said or ask a follow-up question. First of all, when you say that sigils means that we have to, as if we have the phone number, so to speak, of one of the, like an angel or a god or goddess. But then I wonder, what is it that we would be requesting? I think a lot of people would be wondering, well, what exactly, how do we interact with these beings in such a way? And what can we ask? You know, what may we ask? Do we ask for money, or is it just more for very, like, small practical things, or what?
Sure. I will tell you that beings in other realms have zero, but zero, idea of what money is or how to bring it. I have had elves and fairies and so on bring me things that they take so much trouble to get me, and then it's a little beaded necklace that somebody possibly got out of a cracker box, you know, but to them it was shiny and it was pretty, and they have no idea what is valuable and not. For them, what's valuable is what makes an emotional response. So to ask for something like money or a business deal, there aren't a lot of beings that know how to work with it, that live lives where there is no such thing. Possibly, when you have practical things that you're dealing with like that, there are specific kingdoms that excel at specific things. For example, let's say you have a legal issue, and giants have given their names. Giants would be good with things that have to do with justice, with legal issue, and so forth. Mer people have very, very powerful magic. There's not a lot of them left, but very powerful magic. And if you want to prevent somebody trying to injure you, or you want to, you want to beneficially influence somebody's perception in the case, let's say, you get audited. You know, you have nothing to fear, but there's just such complexity that it could easily be misunderstood or this or that or the other. You would get mer people to assist, to help them to see clearly that you don't owe any money. So, and then fairies, it takes quite a lot of fairies, because really what they excel at is to make plants grow, and they can make little cats happy and things like that. They possibly they can also make a cat better, but for a human's well-being, you would want to get somebody like an angel. Another kingdom that's very powerful are the Darklings. But the Darklings have been given a very big job by Mother on Earth, and they've earned it. They have been true blue, impeccable beings through absolute eons of time. They were the history keepers of the cosmos, and she's given them a very important job. So I don't know that they have the time or the resources right now for us to get their attention. But beings like the unicorns, for instance, unicorns are phenomenal at bringing comfort, at restoring purity, at helping emotional distress. They're wonderful at that. Major work can be done by dragons. Mostly a dragon will only come if there's a very big need or you have your own dragon, which in instances, you know, can also be called. But if you have your own dragon, you must know how to work with them. And so I've written about it in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. There are things that offend them. You need to know they want to be kept busy. They're very proud of their work. You don't second guess their work. Things like that. Now, when you're dealing with issues that are more technical and complex, like abundance, Lords of Light, a very much overlooked kingdom, are there available as well. And so a Lord of Light would provide abundance. There are beings that are massive, beautiful, golden-colored serpents. There are multiple colors, but they're called the Ashanta, A-S-S-H-A-N-T-A, the Ashanta serpents. What they do is they get rid of any negativity in an area. If you have a house where, say, a suicide has happened in or something like that, they are magnificent at clearing that density. So you've got to get the right being for the right job. And you can make it as big as you like, and you can make it as small as you like.
All right. And just on a side note, you said Lords of Light were an overlooked kingdom, but as far as I can remember, weren't they replaced very recently?
There are millions of Lords of Light. What they got recently, that was a change. Now, they have had replacements during the time that there was corruption amongst the male gods. There was a time Mother just decided to wipe them all out because they were all under the influence of the illusional gods. But since those gods have been gone and the true God the Father has come forth, which is as of August of 2007, the Lords are back. And some major change that happened recently is that the Lords have been a very masculine kingdom that is part of the problem in the past because it was imbalanced. Mother gave them female Lords as wives. So there are family units now of this kingdom known as Lords. Think of a Lord as a lesser god.
Okay. One other question about the practical magic would be, two questions. You said something about incantations, that they enhance success where the mind is not still.
Yes.
What exactly do you mean by that? Because you touched upon it briefly only.
When the mind is still, staying in expanded attention with slight intention is a powerful way to change your life, to change the mirrors in your environment. When you are in mastery and you're clear because you do self-work within, and mastery meaning that you have the option of the silence of the mind without being in a meditative state, when that is the case, you change your world in two ways. Number one, as I've just said, staying from the biggest picture and with slight intention, you just observe it and observe it and observe it, and it changes before your eyes. Without judgment, without anything, just a slight intention. But if you remember that you are all things while doing it, it turns to reveal perfection. It goes to a higher order of existence. So you can change things that way. The second way that you change things when you are able to go into the silence of the mind is by changing them within. You change within and your mirrors change without. The average person has a deafening dialogue of the mind. That's why they are identifying with the physical, the mind, and the emotions, and they are called in ego identification. So when you are in that state, you need assistance. And assistance can take the form of a ritual, because ritual focuses the mind, or it can take the form of an added boost, like shot in the arm, to your intentions. That's what an incantation would be.
Okay, and the last question would be then, what is the difference between a rune and a sigil?
A rune has a sigil. Now, a rune can be anything. It can be a little pottery piece that you make and paint it on. It can be pebbles you pick up out of the river and paint the sigils on. A rune has sigils on it. But a rune's sigils, it is actually quite special. How runes work are like this. The rune sigil is programmed in a way. That's why you can't just make one up. There is huge power behind trapping the building blocks of life into a sigil. It's not an easy thing to do. It takes a great deal of power. These runes, some of them were given by the Mother Goddess or the Father God. So what they did is they put a specific flavor of building blocks into the sigil. The sigil then, whether it's on a stone or as a card that you draw or whatever, the stone therefore becomes alive. Because what makes something alive is that the awareness part of the building blocks is there. So awareness, the awareness components is in the sigil, it's alive. So if your intent is that you want to know if you should take this job, okay, it's like these little things on, little sigils are aware of what it is you want answered. So when you throw the runes or you shuffle the cards, it will speak to your own awareness. Awareness communicates to awareness that this is the card you should draw. Go right here, put your finger there, draw this card, or they will manipulate the stones to fall in a way that provides you with their answer. The rune that most vibrates to the answer that you're seeking is the one that you will get. So it's sigils that are specially programmed.
Okay. Now, I have a new question.
Oh, you know what? Can I do one quick a commercial break, and we'll go to the next. This segment went very quickly, but it's a full segment, so we'll be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almaine continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And you know, Ruchir, I have to confess, I love spending the hour with our listeners, but it's much more fun when I have someone that asks questions like you've been asking. I'm very appreciative. They're good questions.
Okay,
so right ahead.
Well, you're welcome. My second question, well, let's just say we're staying on the topic of magic, and I wanted to ask about the spells as a technology, because I think the idea is that this is what they would call, I think the Toltec would call, second ring magic. Yet it looks like first ring in the sense that it would certainly seem like an external technology rather than working from within. So how would you explain that?
Oh, what a fabulous question. And in fact, you were not with us, but recently I actually traced how the magic that we are using in this incorruptible magic actually works with codes inside the body. And I did that in one or two of the shows ago, so any listeners that missed that, that should be up in the archives already. But you know, so if my answer is going to now touch on a little bit of different story, but the rest of the story would be in the archives. So, Ruchir, when magic is done, there are several components that are being done. The magic is pulled from the base of the spine where there's codes. They mix as they're pulled upwards, and they're pulled upwards by being passionately interested in what you're doing. Any white magic has to enhance life. So if you can get passionate about being a co-creator with the infinite, being able to make a difference, to raise life to a higher order and pattern of existence, that passion awakens the base of the spine where there are 96 magical codes. And this pulls up the spine and it mixes. The way, you know, if you took lemon juice and you put it in cream, for instance, immediately it goes thick. So, and it curdles. So there's an alchemical reaction. Two substances together, alchemical reaction. When the spine, when the prana carries this, the codes upwards up the spinal cord, it mixes with the other codes. Then the right brain has to put in its inclusiveness. It sees that what it wishes to change is really within itself. It sees that what the abundance that it seeks is really the source of its own being, which is within. So this inclusive recognition that what I'm attempting to do without is really something I'm doing within is a right brain part, the component that comes in. And the left brain part also releases through perception its codes. It's when the left and right brain codes meet, the other codes are coming up the spine, the three sets of codes go into the pineal gland. The pineal gland actually interprets the language of all the codes, sends the message to the pineal. The pineal looks within, creates the magic within, and it manifests without. And it's a really phenomenal thing. So the fact that you have a spell to enhance it, all of this is the technique that goes behind the spell. And so as you can see, the spell is just the frosting on the cake. It's an inner technique. So very well done. I didn't make that point on that previous show.
But how does that differ then from simply intending to change something within and then, like, at least attempting to change it?
Well, first ring magic has as its it forces its will on the external. In other words, this is cooperative with the infinite web of life. First ring magic takes a spell, exercises it. Okay, the practitioner may have asked, well, is it expedient or isn't it? Is it okay if they're scrupulous? But they would take that spell and exercise it simply on the external. The second ring magic sees the external as a mirror of the internal and changes life to a higher order within. The big difference is that first ring magic depletes not only the practitioner, but the environment, were it to work, because mother has removed the ability of the spells to work. Second ring magic enhances the practitioner and his world every time he practices it, because he actually releases power to his environment. Let me explain how that happens. When a lower order rearranges itself to a higher order, less power is needed to keep its cohesiveness as a pattern, as a template of existence. So that power is not no longer needed, so it releases it. Every time we change within to become more whole, to make our circumstances without more whole, we move ourselves to a higher perception order within. Our perception raises. Power is released to our environment. It's that power that is used. As a practical matter, what the difference is versus the one depletes, the other one empowers. As a practical matter, first ring magic has very limited power. And second ring magic is limitless. First ring magic's power comes from left brain only. And that's really not where the power source lies.
Okay, but I think my question is still not entirely answered, because one way to rephrase it would be then, well, does one need a spell? Because if I'm trying to affect change without and therefore changing within, in that scenario, I'm obviously not activating all these codes at the base of the spine, whereas with...
No, you're not. That is a method that works splendidly. To get physicality to change rapidly has been an ongoing challenge. I believe that we're very, very close to solving it, but we have had multiple techniques to hasten material manifestation of intent. In the book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, that's now available, it's ready to ship, it's on Amazon.com and so on, we have a wheel given by Isis that I got out of the Isis libraries to help thin the veil to create the etheric intention into physicality more rapidly. But these spells hasten manifestation, because they add their power behind yours. If they were the only power source and you're not using your own, then you're using first ring magic, which is not the thing to do.
Oh.
So they enhance and they empower and they quicken the results. They also help focus better. I I remember learning this lesson very carefully once, if I may give an example, and hopefully then I've answered it. But Rogier, if I haven't, you can ask me for the rest of the program, because I know if you don't understand, many of our listeners don't either. And, you know, my purpose is clarity. So let me give an example. Why a spell helps to define the parameter of where you want your full intention to go to. I remember that I was in England. I had my little one with me. I had to teach a class over there. And I said to them, look, you're arriving a day or two early. My daughter is 2 years old, 3 years old, and could you please get her some sort of milk for, I guess she was two, she was still drinking her bottle. Could you get her some sort of soy milk, oat milk, rice milk, anything, but she's lactose intolerant, for her bottle? Well, I got there, nobody got anything, everybody's running around in circles, and I get there late at night, we've been up for, you know, she's been sitting on my lap in the plane most of the journey across the Atlantic, and I had no way to get anything. So, you know, what I did is I filled a couple of bottles with water, and for the benefit of the class, I don't do much of this anymore, but for the benefit of the class, I changed the water into milk. I wanted it to be very vanilla. I said, extra vanilla. Yep, I mean, she drank this white milk that the water turned into, and, you know, vanilla milkies, you know, loved it very much. Well, on my trip home, at this time, armed and ready, I put all these containers of soy milk in my suitcase. I get to Vancouver from Heathrow to Vancouver. It's a very long flight where she just about had me in tears. But by the time I got there, everything had run out in the suitcase. Again, she doesn't want to sleep without her bottle. No bottle. So I am totally exhausted from the ordeal she just put me through for a little one on that airplane flight. And so I'm trying to do the same thing again, but I didn't fully focus well. So I kept trying to rinse her bottle, you know, hung all the wet clothes out to dry and stuff, but I'm trying to rinse her bottle, and I can't rinse her bottle, and it keeps being white. And so I finally realized there's milk pouring out of the tap. I didn't define the parameter. The milk was running all down the sink. You must, when you do focused intent, it has to have a focus. Otherwise, it's just changing things diffusely all around you. These spells have to provide that bottle in which the water can be changed to milk. Do I use spells? No, I don't. But I happen to know mother's language, and mother's language is the highest magic of all. Whatever is spoken in mother's language is so. The reason is that the language cannot in any way speak what is not accurate or correct or true. And
But spells can, or?
Not incorruptible magic, they just won't work.
Okay, but then why would these spells be appearing if there is something which supersedes it anyway, so why wouldn't we just use that?
I don't know of anyone other than myself that speaks mother's language fluently. I know that you speak father's language, which is very valuable as well, in the same way. But Rogier, there's 100 incantations given. The Isis book has incantations in it. Ring of Truth has incantations in it that Mother gave for the people of Ireland. I believe one of them is for Ireland. I think it's the Isis book, of course, because the Masters of the Roses is the guardian of the Isis magic. However, that's 100 incantations. And if you run into other things that those incantations don't cover, and you don't speak Mother's language, this is a tool.
Okay. Now, do we have time for another question, or?
No, we better go for a break. Let's do it.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. the state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Helmi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almi's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back, and we are now in our final segment of our show. And Ruhir, where would you like to go from here?
Well, there was a question, or maybe even more of a comment, that came to us, and I think it would be a good thing to talk about that one, namely that with these orders and all this magic coming forth and all these gods and goddesses, and it would certainly seem like we've got all these pantheons. So the question would really be, then how is this not religion with all its, features and trappings?
Okay, that's a good question. For example, so our listeners know what we're talking about. In Ring of Truth, we give you the God of Abundance or Goddess of Abundance, the God that removes illusion, a Goddess of Hope, things like that. We've given you their sigils and their names. In other words, you have the phone number of a pantheon of gods and goddesses that represent archetypes that Mother has and Father have called. So, incredible, incredibly holy thing to have. The difference is this. With religion, people have a fragment of a mirror. This mirror reflects a small portion of the infinite's face. And what they do is they grab the mirror piece, just a sliver, and they jump up and down, and they're on their soapbox, and they tell you that whatever you see in that mirror is it. It's the only truth. It's the highest truth. It's this, that, or the other. Mother's face changes as the infinite one being expressing as the many, and we have on YouTube got a very excellent piece up, I believe, on, is it iTunes or YouTube, Ruhir, about mother and father's relationship?
Well, it's not up on either because we have to redo it.
Oh, okay. Good thing I have you handy, but we've got wonderful bits up there, but this will be up soon. Because we put ones up regularly. So we also have an email that our office has sent that you can certainly ask for, explaining the relationship between mother and father, a detailed email. And if you contact our office, they will be happy to update you on it, even though it's already been sent to our email list. Mother created father as her first creation. The point of the matter is that her face changes moment by moment as each one of us goes further than we've ever gone before with our light, with our love, with our integrity, with the beauty of our existence. We evolve creation as well. It's a mirror she looks in. And so religion locks one into a box. Spirituality, on the other hand, leads with the heart and is open to changes that happen moment by moment. We don't worship the gods and goddesses. They are allies. And they are allies in that we can call upon them for assistance. There are times people feel overwhelmed. That's just the end of the story. That assistance would be very welcome indeed. That's what they're given for. What makes the huge difference is that what everything that I have written in my books, my brothers and sisters, is your path to become a God being in the flesh. It shows you in Ring of Truth and in Secrets of the Hidden Realms is the best for this, but it shows you exactly what every stage of the evolution of man entails, what it takes to move beyond the apex, which is ascended mastery, as full-fledged ascended mastery, to the stage beyond, which is the God kingdom. You can become what they were made as by Mother. And with it, you bring profound experiential knowledge. You can be what they are. And that's the difference.
Okay. Now, one final short question I wanted to ask about these orders and these libraries is really, well, at this time, a lot of libraries are opening. I think they're mostly etheric, but anyway, I think the number is 129. And I think up until this point, each of these libraries had an order as the custodians, but now that they're sort of shooting out of the ground, so to speak, there's a lot without any custodians. So how does that work?
Here, the libraries that are open have been made, they are physical because we've moved into their level. Those libraries have shields around them so we can't see them. Not a very difficult thing to do. But libraries that are etheric are ones that we haven't gotten around to translating things out of. The minute one translates things out of those libraries, the cosmos and the earth itself moves up a level to that library's level, and it becomes physical. So although some of them are etheric, the oracles from the orders are producing so much information from these libraries that very few of them are still etheric of the 129 that are on the Earth's surface. Most of them are physical. They are shielded, so if one goes with ill intent, with the wrong agenda, or you haven't taken the time to study what you already have out of that library, you know, why would it open itself up for more if you haven't even studied what there is? And a library like that is shielded, it's not that hard to do. The crystal kids in the past, those things have been done away with to a large extent. I don't know if it's altogether done away with, but Mother has prevented that from happening. But like the very brilliant Oriental kids were used to keep things hidden that were invasive to other countries all over the world. And they put a shield around it. I know because I've worked with it. These shields, some Native American shamans can do it, not many, but some. To shield things. You can walk right by it. You can feel as if you're walking right through it and won't even know that it's there. Mother and Father have shielded the libraries, but they are physical. Now, to come to your question. Currently, the Order of the Serpent Mound, every order has a very specific function. Like, as orders are called, Masters either come from the Irish Order, which is the sacred order of the White Rose that helped produce the book of Opening the Doors of Heaven with the revelations of the mysteries of Isis. They're ascended masters. They are in Ireland. And when you see on my website that there's a class in Ireland, it's a gathering that we're doing. The class is so that only those that know they should be there and feel worthy of such high truths, because worthiness is the main thing. When you want to walk this road, you've got to feel worthy and know in your heart that you're going to rise to the occasion. But so they always send a master, or masters go to them when a new order has to be formed. They're the birthplace of new orders. The order of the serpent now, the dove has something entirely different again, and so forth. But the orders of the serpent mount, the symbol for them is a serpent around seven eggs. That also happens to be the symbol for Lemuria. But this symbol for the serpent mound is because they are surrounded as custodians temporarily, or libraries opening all over the world. That's why they are involved in every bit of it. I've been working with them actually day and night. They've been working through the night. And so have the oracles from the Dove, and the oracles from Ireland have been putting in. The oracles from the Serpent Order up in Canada have been putting in to be custodians and get these libraries open. However, their orders are in other countries. For example, there is an order that needs to be called in South Africa. I am going to South Africa. I believe it is in June or July. I don't know. It's on my website. But I'm going to South Africa specifically to call that order. The White Horse Libraries have opened. Libraries have just opened. In addition to the White Horse Libraries, the White Horse Libraries are in Southern Africa, but actually in Zimbabwe. Right outside of Johannesburg, libraries have not just opened. They need to have an order that becomes custodian of these libraries. The whole order receives information from the libraries, but they become custodians. When a country's order is called, that will be custodians and guardians of its holy body of information and libraries, the entire country changes. Stability comes. Power solves a lot of problems effortlessly that is released from such a calling. I am waiting for people to wake up. South Africans have contacted me to come. Now I go. Now the order is called. But there are orders opening in Germany, in France, in Cyprus, in Ceylon, in India, in Malaysia, in Japan.
Libraries, you mean?
Pardon? Libraries, yes, sorry. Opening. All of these places need orders. But I have to catch up with it because they have to invite me. And so until then, the serpent mound, like a serpent around the eggs, are the temporary custodians. We actually have to close our show for the day, and what a fun hour it has been. Thank you very much. I love this because I never know where it's going to go. And also to our listeners, we love you, and thank you for being with us.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almeen. Please join us again next week.